Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Chaim Balter. Maseches Sukkah has been dedicated by Mr. and Mrs. Noach Stengel, Le'ilu Nishmas Menachem Meir ben Naftali, and Esther Bas David.
Today's daf is Chav Dalet Amalev, and the first topic we will be discussing is a Shas topic, the topic of Im Yesh Brera Im Brera. The way the Gemara in Maseches Sukkah actually comes as Machlokes starts on Chav Gimel Amal Aleph, where the Gemara discusses a machlokas between Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda of whether you're able to utilize a behema for defanoshal sukkah. According to Shitas Reb Meir, you're not able to use it because Reb Meir says chayish lemisa, and Reb Yehuda says lo chayish lemisa. So according to Shitas Reb Meir, we see that there is a chashash that a person cannot use an animal from one of the walls of his sukkah because perhaps the animal may die and therefore invalidate the defanos hasukkah. The Gemara then asks a steer, and the Gemara says that there is a famous brisa throughout Shas, which says halokeach yain mi ben hakusim, someone who takes yain, who buys wine from kusim. The assumption is that when you buy wine from kusim, they have not been mafresh trumas or maishas. And in this specific scenario, as Rashi tells us, it's either Shabbos or you do not have the proper kalim to be mafresh trumas or maishas. The question is, how will you be able to eat this yayin, to drink from this yayin on Shabbos, based on the fact that you're not allowed to be mafresh trumas or maisos on Shabbos? So it says, halokeach yayin mi ben akusim omer, a person says, that even though I'm not going to be mafresh now, let what I will be mafresh in the future be chal retroactively. So the actual maiser, the actual hafrashes, trumas or maisros, will not take place on Shabbos, but rather will take after Shabbos. And the question is, can I say that the maisa hafrash that I do after Shabbos can then be retroactively utilized to eat the foodstuffs or to drink the yayin on Shabbos itself? So the Braisa says, alokeach yayin ben akusim, omer, shnei lugim shani asid lahafrish, the two lugim that I am eventually going to go ahead and to separate for truma, harehin truma. Then you also take asara, you separate 1/10 for maisa rishon, tisha maisa sheni, umeichel v'shos miyad divar Reb Meir. Rashi says v'shos miyad v'samchinen abrera, that there is a concept of brera here, and Rashi explains u'kashiyavo lebeso, and when you eventually come to your house and you're able to be mafresh trumas and maisras, Yafresh, v'arminan yesh brera, and you say this concept of yesh brera, she'elu hein ma'asrin u trumason, that I say eventually whatever I decide in the future to actually separate for trumas and maisras, that retroactively will be trumas and maisras. The Gemara brings a dissenting opinion, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Osrim. Now first the Gemara assumes that everyone holds of yesh brera. The only issue is, are you allowed to utilize this lechatchila? Reb Meir, the Gemara, feels you're allowed to utilize this lechatchila, and the Gemara feels that this is a contradiction, because the Gemara says earlier Reb Meir was chayish lemisa, and here he's not worried that perhaps whatever foodstuffs or wine that you want to use later for trumas or maisros will fall on the floor and not be utilized. So the Gemara compares the chashash that an animal may die to the chashash that maybe the wine will spill. For Rabbi Yehuda, lo chayish lemisa, and Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh lemisa. However, here it appears that Rabbi Yehuda is choshesh and will not allow a person to be mafresh trumas and maisros in this fashion lechatchila, because you're afraid that in the future, as the Gemara says, the chayish libikias node. You're worried that perhaps the wine may open, the barrel may open and spill, and you will not have the ability to be mafresh later. So the Gemara first assumes that everyone holds yesh brera. It's just a machlokas about what you are choshesh. If you are choshesh, whether perhaps what you will utilize later to be mafresh trumas and maisros will spill in the interim. The Gemara, however, ends up saying that that's not the machlokas. The machlokas is Rabbi Yehuda says not only lechatchila, you cannot be mafresh trumas and maisros in this fashion, that they should actually be chal retroactively, but rather the Rabbi Yehuda says essentially, even if you do this Maisa HaFrasha, and even if eventually there is enough Yayin at the end of the day to do it, it won't be Chal Lemafreya, it'll only be Chal Mikan L'Haba, because he holds Les Le Brera. And therefore, the Gemara says there's no stira between Shitas Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara similarly says that Rabbi Meir will not have a stira either, because even though at the end of the day the Gemara says Rabbi Meir holds Yesh Brera, he says that an animal is different than a barrel of wine. A barrel of wine, it's much easier for a person to protect, and he could create a shomer, and he could be extra diligent about not letting it spill. As opposed to an animal, you're not in control of the animal. But at the end of the day, the Gemara says, we have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, im yesh brera, ein brera. Now, there are two important questions that come up throughout Shas in this fundamental machlokas, if yesh brera or ein brera. The first question is, how do you understand the man di omer ein brera? It appears there's a major machlokas rishonim, according to the man di omer ein brera. Do you say that because of ein brera, there's absolutely no chalos at all? Meaning that if a person says, I am eating foodstuffs now, and eventually, when I decide which of these foodstuffs I am going to go ahead and use for Trumas and Maisras, even though I'm doing it in 3-4 days, eventually, when I'm mafresh, let that hafrasha be chal retroactively. The man di omer who rejects that and says you can't do it retroactively, does that man di omer feel ein brera absolutely, and there's no chalos at all? And what you've eaten in the interim, between the time that you've eaten and you eventually are mafresh trumas or maisras, is it iser tevel? Or maybe the man di omer holds ein brera, holds there is a chalos. The problem is that you cannot have a chalos that is indeterminate. And therefore, what happens is there is an eventual hafrashas trumas umaisras. However, in the interim, the hafrasha that takes place is indeterminate. So the issue is not an issue of eating tevel in the interim, but the problem is until you decide what exactly you're being mafresh, the hafrasha is in a state of limbo and confusion. And that is the Lashon of Rashi in Chulin Yedalim Amar Aleph, Divra Hamaschal Oisrim. That Lashon of Rashi is Shechoshishin Shema Truma Shasa. It's Mashmah from Pshitas Rashi that even the Mandi Omer who holds Ein Brera holds that there is a Chalos in the interim. The problem is that Chalos is indeterminate, and therefore you're not sure if what you're eating actually has a Shem Truma on it or a Shem Chulin on it. Therefore, Rashi says, the issue is that I may be eating Truma in the interim. Fascinating, according to Rashi, even according to the Man Yomer Ein Brera, it would be mutter for a Kohen to go ahead, even according to the Man Yomer Ein Brera, and to eat in the interim from the foodstuffs. However, Tosus and Erevin clearly disagrees with this Rashi. In Erevin, Rashi says, Shitas Rashi is brought as Shitas Ri in Tosas Erevin Lamed Zayin Amud Beis Divar Hamaschel Elameato, where Tosas says in the name of Ri that even if you hold Ein Brera, there still is actually a Chalos that goes retroactively. But once again, it's a Chalos that is murky and unclear. So even though you eventually are Mafresh, the Truma, after a period of time, there is a chalos l'mafreya. However, as we mentioned, according to Shitas Rashi in the Ri, that chalos is one whereby truma is chal. However, we're not sure what parts of the foodstuffs are truma, and we have truma and nechulin mu'uravin biyachad. However, Tosus over there in Erevin rejects this idea, and it says, according to the Man di Omer Ein Brera, in Ar Gemara on the top of Chavdal Amid Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Oisrin, The reason that they aser the hafrashas truma l'mafreya is because there is no chalos at all, and it's in iser tevel. So once again, Rashi's shita is the reason, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Shimon, they are oser because they hold ein brera, is because it's truma and chulim ravim biachad, as opposed to Tosus and most other rishonim, that is because it is tevel. Rabbi Kiva Eger in Drush v'Chiddush Maroch Dalid says that our Gemara on Chavdalad Omer Aleph is mashma, like the Shita that says the Isser to eat Truma, if you hold Ein Brera from the very outset, is an Isser Tevel. Because the Gemara quotes Vaham Midik Tani Sefer, quotes the end of the Brisa, where those Tanoim that hold Ein Brera retort to Reb Meir, Amrulo, they say, Amrulo the Reb Meir, they say to Reb Meir, I'atomoda, would you not agree, Shema Yifka Hanod, that if eventually, when you wish to be mafresh, truma from the yayin, perhaps the yayin itself will spill, its cover will come off, and therefore there will be nothing to be mafresh from. And then the next few words are important, because Rabbi Kiva Eger says, and then they are saying, those shitas ein brera, you must then, in that scenario, Rabbi Meir agreed to us, v'nimtza zeh shosa tevelim, lemafreya. You must then agree to us that he is actually eating tevel, if at the end of the day the wine spills and you're not able to be mafresh. Rabbi Kiva Eger says this seems to imply that those shitas who hold in brera are saying, yes, Rabbi Meir, there is a scenario whereby at the end of the day you will agree to us that shosa tevelim lemafreya, as if to imply those people hold ein brera, hold it's an iser tevel. However, the Kilos Yaakov points out in Gittin Simon Yutes, where he discusses this issue, Machlokes Rashi and Tosus, of how to understand the Shita ein brera, that really there are two actual separate issues in this Gemara. Issue number one is the Gemara articulates, is the chashash of whether you can rely, even according to the Man D'Yomer Yesh Brera, on the fact that you're taking a chance that you're eating the foodstuffs or drinking the yayin now on the basis that there may eventually be yayin available to go ahead and do hafrasha. Maybe that's irresponsible because at the end of the day, it will not be there for the hafrasha. The second issue is, if it is available for hafrasha, do you say that that hafrasha, from what you eventually determine to be truma, could be chalim afreya? Now, the Stipler says when those Rishonim, when those Tanoim, excuse me, are asking on Reb Meir, who holds Yesh Bera, don't you agree with us that there is a problem and you're taking a chance that perhaps the wine will spill? That's when they are actually attacking Reb Meir, not on his essential sheet of Yesh Bera versus Ein Bera, but even if you would hold Yesh Bera, don't they say it's irresponsible that you may not be eventually being able to mafresh? So in that point, everyone would agree, even the Man D'Yomer Ein Brera, even according to Shitas Rashi, who holds that Ein Brera is there as a chalos, everyone will agree that the only possibility of a chalos, even according to Rashi's understanding of Ein Brera, is if eventually there is a hafrasha. So when Amru Lo Reb Meir, they're not saying, according to you, Reb Meir, that we hold Ein Brera, we're hold is no chalos, but they would say, don't you agree you're taking a chance that if there eventually is no hafrasha, it's tevel? That's where they're expressing the concern that you'll have tevel. However, if there would be a hafrasha at the end of the day, the Stipler says, then, as Rashi points out, and Rashi Shita is, that even according to the Man D'Yomer Brera, the chashash would not be shosa tevelim, but the chashash would be shosa truma v'chulin biyachad. And as we mentioned, that would be mutter to a kohen, and the isser would only be an isser to Yisrael according to the Man D'Yomer Ein Brera. The Mishnah's Reb Aaron on Kachim Siman Dalad brings a very important Gemara in Zvochim Gimel Omed Aleph concerning the issue of Yesh Brera Ein Brera, where the Gemara is discussing the issue by Zvochim of Lishma by Korban Shlomim and all other Korbanos, Korban Ola. With the Gemara, where the Mishnah says on Beis Amud Aleph, Kol HaZvachim Shenizbechu Shalom Lishma Ksherim, the Gemara wants to know what is the requirement of Lishma by Korbanos. The Gemara entertains the possibility of Stoma Kilishma, that as long as you don't have a negative Kavana, then the assumption is that if you Shecht a Shlomim Min HaStam, then it is considered to be Lishma. The Gemara, though, then gets into the question of Gittin. Do we say that by Gittin, there's also the possibility of Stoma Lishma? The Torah requires Lishma by Kachim, and it also requires Lishma by Get, as we know from the Pasuk V'Kasavla. So the Gemara wants to prove that there is not a concept of Stoma Kilishma by Get. That if someone would write a Get for his wife, without writing it Lishma, would you assume that since there's no Shalolishma, since he's not using a get for one wife for another, but if he's writing a get stam, the Gemara says it has a proof that writing a get stam is not considered to be kosher from a particular case. The case is Omer Lelavler, a man says to a scribe, Kosov, go ahead and write a get, Ule'eza she'ertze, and to which one of my wives, each of which that has the same name, I will eventually decide which one of the two, Agaresh, I will use it to perform gerushin. Meaning the Gemara says, Posel Lagaresh bo. Now the Gemara says that if you hold stama lishma, then if you're writing a get, for argument's sake, for a woman named Miriam, and you have two wives named Miriam, then at the end of the day, whichever wife you use it for, the Gemara says, it should be good. Because you're not singling it out for one Miriam, Miriam A versus Miriam B. Therefore, it's not Shalol Lishma. Therefore, if you leave the decision blank and open, and you write it for Miriam, and then decide eventually which Miriam, if you hold Stoma Kilishma, then this get should be a good get. The fact that the Mishnah in Gittin says, Posel Lagarish Bo, it's a proof that just writing a get Stam without committing to one woman or another is not sufficient because you have not delineated which of the two Miriams. So the Gemara wants the proof from this case. You don't say Stam Kilishma by Gittin. The Gemara then brings in the concept of Breira and says, Dilma, perhaps Shiny Hossam, it's different here, the Ein Breira. Rav Aaron in Mishnas Aaron points out that if you understand Ein Breira like Tosus, that the decision that he makes eventually has no bearing on the original writing of the get, then I don't understand why the Gemara should be Docha the Raya. Because if Ein Breira, the eventual decision is immaterial. And you should go back to the very, very outset whereby you wrote the get, and you wrote the get without committing to either wife. And it stood could be Stama Kilishma. And the fact it's possible should be a Raya, that we don't say Stama Lishma by get. Rabbi Aaron says, however, if you understand that according to Rashi, that even according to the Man the Yomer Ein Breira, there is some impact on your eventual decision concerning your original activities, then I can understand why the get would be possible. Matter of fact, Rashi here explains that if I hold Ein Breira, even according to the Man the Ein Breira, it's not as if Ein Breira totally ignores the eventual decision, and it has no bearing retroactively, but rather Rashi articulates the Ein Breira, Ugria, it is worse, Mistama, that eventually, when I make a decision, eventually it's worse than not making a decision. The Shema Beshoshin Nichtav, perhaps at the time that he wrote, Lo Haya Bedaito Shabal Lazu, since he leaves it open for an eventual decision, that eventual decision, even according to the Man the Amar Ein Breira, is not ignored. The intok l'shem acheres, since he left it open, we don't ignore the fact that he left it open, and we say it's a chisaron in stoma. It's as if it's shelo lishma, meaning if he leaves it up in the air for an eventual decision, the fact that he left it open for an eventual decision creates a chisaron in lishma. Rabbi Aaron says this makes a lot more sense if you say that even according to the Man the Amar Ein Breira, it's not a question of ignoring the eventual decision, but the eventual decision still muddles the situation. So Rabbi Aaron says, you see from this Gemara that there is an idea which validates Rashi's idea that eventually the concept of Ein Breira does affect the original decision, and the eventual decision does have some bearing. The interesting question is, would Rashi, in this case of get, say something that he says similar to the case of Truma? Would he say, just like in Truma, there is an eventual chalos, we're just not sure on which of the objects the chalos of Truma takes place? Would you say here also, in the case of Gittin, that there is a lishma embedded in the get. We're just not sure who the lishma is for. And therefore, the get is possible, which would then lead to a very interesting conclusion, according to the extending that Shitas Rashi, that if you actually then gave the get to one of the two Miriams, it would be a suffik migureshes. However, it's not mashma that way from Rashi. Rashi would say that sometimes in the case of Ein Brera, depending on which halacha you're dealing with, the halacha in itself, in its essence, requires such clarity that if the clarity is muddled, then the very definition of what's required has not been fulfilled. So, for instance, in the case of Truma, we may very well say that Truma could be chal, even though I don't know on what foodstuffs it is chal, on what objects it's chal, but somehow it's mixed in there. However, the very aspect of lishma requires definition. And if it's muddled, then by definition, I don't have lishma. So Rashi, in some cases of Ein Brera, depending on what din we're dealing with, may also eventually say that the Ein Brera doesn't create a confusion. But the potential of Ein Brera creating the confusion is enough here to go ahead and take away the din lishma. Therefore, according to Rashi's approach, that the eventual decision does have an effect, lemafreya, to muddle the situation and to confuse the situation, is enough to say that it's not stama kilishma, and therefore the Gemara could be docho the raya. So it's interesting that we very often have to look at what type of din we're dealing with. And this case of lishma by get is not a hafrushas truma, but it's the das of the person. And we're saying, just like in the case of truma, the hafrusha, the maisa truma, hafrusha and the chalos should be chal retroactively. So too, we say the decision of lishma should be chal retroactively. And if the man, the amr, holds Ein Brera, it won't work. And again, according to Rashi, it may not work at all in this scenario because of the particular requirements of lishma. The first question that we have dealt with up to now in lishma, as we mentioned, is how to understand the machlokas between Yesh Brera and Ein Brera, if it's a question of no chalos at all, like Tosus in Erev and Lamed Zayin Amud Beis says, or if it's like Rashi Shita, that in some cases the eventual decision of Ein Brera still has some impact retroactively, and in the case of Trumas and Maestros can create a chalos truma. Just the problem is the chalos is in muddled and somehow is mixed within the contents, and we're not sure, and we have Truma and Chulin Murav and Biachad. That's question number one in Brera. What exactly is the sheet of the Mandyamar in Brera? The second major question in the Sugya of Brera is that it appears there are many cases in Shas that should be subject to the concept of Ein Brera, Yesh Brera, but are not. Now, if we learn that the whole issue of Ein Brera and Yesh Brera is just a question of having something that we do in the future being chal and acting retroactively, then the Rishonim say there's a problem with the general concept of tenai, of a stipulation. We know that tenai b'nei Gad and b'nei Ruvain, which is the marker for all tenayim, should be, according to many Rishonim, a classical case of Brera. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Ruvain, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe that they will go ahead and be zoche to the Eiver HaYarden, and that will then go ahead and be their chelek if they eventually do something. How could Moshe have gone ahead and actually promised it to them? How could he, so to speak, have done a maisa kinyan and a commitment to them that will not be chal immediately but will be dependent on a future situation, that if B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven go ahead and lead the fight into Eretz Yisrael, then in the future it will retroactively come true that the land belonged to them. Isn't that a case of Brera? Isn't every case of Tanai the Rishonim ask a case of Brera? Meaning if a person says, Hareat mekudeshes li, you are going to be my wife, may achshav now, if it rains in a week or 2 weeks, then everyone agrees that if it rains in a week or 2 weeks, or even a simpler case, Hareat mekudeshes li almanas, Shetit lili masayim zuz. You are my wife, almanas, which is me'achshav, from now. You are my wife today. If eventually you pay me, it seems everyone agrees that that kedushin is chal me'achshav retroactively. Why isn't that case of t'nai tali in brera? Similarly, there's a famous ravid at the beginning of the second parak of Bab Metzia, Ilam Tzias Chafal V'Mebeis, that actually says the famous machlokes of Yeush Shalomi Das, a case where somebody loses an Aveda, and before he finds out it is an Aveda, and it is lost, and before he actually is Miyayish and gives up, the question is, in the interim, before the owner of the object finds out about the lost object, since we assume, because it has no simon, he will eventually be Miyayish, can you pick up the object in the interim? The Gemara there in Chafal Amud Beis says the famous machlokas Itmar Yeyush Shalomi Das, Abaye Omer Lo Havi Yeyush, Verava Omer Havi Yeyush. The Ravid in the Shita Mekubetza says Hach Pluk Te Dabavai Rava. This essential machlokas between Abaye Verava, which is one of the most famous cases in Shas, one of the six cases of Yal Kagam where you're passing like Abaye, he says the Ravid, this machlokas of Abaye and Rava, Yeyush Shalomi Das, Koshili. It's problematic to him on first glance. The Shaychale Brera, the Ein Brera. Isn't this a classical case of something that is not known now, eventually will be known when the person gives up? Let us say that when he eventually gives up, in a few days or whenever it may be, then retroactively we know that the Aveda was Mutter from the original time of the loss. So the Ravid says, V'liflegi ba'alma. This machlokas Abaye v'Rav of Yeish Shalomi Das should be the general machlokas of Yeish Brera or Ein Brera. Then the Ravid makes an ambiguous statement, Elish Yeish Lemevin, to someone who really understands the machlokas of Ein Brera, Yeish Brera, Lahafligo Me'inyin Brera. Someone who really understands should know that there's a distinction between Yeish Shalomi Das and the Sugya of Brera. So how did the Rishonim attack this issue? That there's the case of T'nai, the case of Yeish Shalomi Das, many cases throughout Shas that seem to be similar to the machlokas of Brera, and the Gemara ignores the sugya of Brera when discussing the sugya of T'nai and the sugya of Yeish Shalomi Das. So Tosus on our sugya Chav Gimel Amud Beis, Divar Maschul Divar Meir on the bottom, mentions the Shitas Rashi. Shitas Rashi is Perisham B'Kuntres, Mishum De Einze. T'nai kishar t'noim de alma. Mishum de odom masne beget shebiyodo lekaimon. Vedaito lekaimon kishemasne aleim. U lekeshiniskayim hatnai haveget lemafreya. Below time of the brera. That when a person, he gives a few qualifications, Tosus, in the name of Rashi, that when a person makes a t'nai on the get, and it's in his hands to be mekayim it, and he wishes to be mekayim in it, then that's not shaykh to brera. Aval hocha, but in a case, the ein biyada, in a case, for instance, of get shchiv mera, where it's a case that it's kin shmuel was matakin, begita, the neget of shchiv mera, that when he gives a get, it's implied, im yomus, if he dies, then it will become a get, and if he doesn't die, it will not become a get, and the Gemara says, that get, based on the condition of whether he dies or not, whether that's a get or not, and whether it's dependent upon his death, is determined on Yeish Brera. Why is that dependent on Yeish Brera as opposed to a regular T'nai? Tosa says in the name of Rashi, Aval he'hocha be'ein biyado, it's not biyado. U'b'shas ha'T'nai hu sofek, v'at'nai miskayim me'elov. That the chiluk in Rashi is mainly on the nature of the stipulation. If the stipulation is a stipulation that is biyado, that it is in his hands, and he's in control of the whole situation, then we say that that is a classical case of t'nai. The classical case of brera, miyesh brera, ein brera, is a case, as Rashi says, we would apply brera, ein brera, in a scenario where the person is not in control of t'nai. It's dependent on outside factors to determine whether the t'nai will be mekuyim. And then we say, huvra hadavra lemafreya, then we need brera to say If that eventual reality of death or not death happens, then that's totally on Yesh Brera, Ein Brera. The issue, of course, will all be our Gemara, where our Gemara says that someone says, let Truma and Maisris be Chal from now, when I eventually am Mafresha in the future. So that case is a little problematic. Why would say Yesh Brera, Ein Brera? Nevertheless, Rashi and Tosas say the case of Tanai is a case whereby it's biyado, and when it's biyado, there is no issue of brera. The Ramban disagrees with this vehemently, and there are many cases in Shas that all the Rishonim bring, some of which bolster their shita, some of which contradict their opinions. But the Ramban in Gittin Chafhei Amid Bey says, Zeha Klal, Sha'ani Omer Bebrera, Kol Dover Shetno B'maise Tola, T'nai B'dover Echod, U'maise Echod, that when there's one issue, when there's one stipulation with one maisa, then hareza kayim, that's not dependent on brera. So the classical case is, according to the Ramban, I know exactly what my specific outcome is. For instance, someone says, hareat mekudeshesli, you are married to me, on the condition that rain will come down, on the condition you give me money. He says, that is not a case of being masna b'shnei dvarim, meaning what you want to achieve and the specific chalos that you want to achieve is so clear. For instance, you want to be magarish this specific woman. The chalos, what you want to accomplish, is 100% clear. So in such a case, that's what the Torah is mechadesh in the parsha of Tnoim of B'nei Gad or B'nei Ruve, that a person has bailus, a person has control over the chalos of his maisa. And he could go ahead and he could make that chalos bichal in 100 days. He could say, this get is chal in 30 days, 40 days. Or the parsha of Tnoim says you can control that chalos through a stipulation. But what you're controlling is clear from the outset. What you want to do is be magarish this specific woman. The case of Brera, according to the Ramban, is a case where the chalos itself is not clear. The case of Brera and the issue of Yesh Brera, Ein Brera is not a question of retroactively being in control of a chalos, allowing an eventual chalos to go ahead and be chal retroactive, because that's the classical case of Tanai, according to Ramban. The case of Brera is when your chalos is not sure, is unsure and unclear. So, for instance, Argamar says, let Truma be chal on this Yayin from the Yayin and barrels I eventually choose. Meaning, you're not even sure where the chalos ha-truma is eventually going to take place. So when your chalos is not sure from the moment you wish that chalos to be chal, it creates two doubts. Doubt number one is, will you be mafresh? And doubt number two is, what and exactly you will be mafresh from? Another example, which may even be clearer, is the classical case of Eruvei Tchumim, where a person says that if the Chochem comes in the east, then my Eruv will be in the east. If the Chochem comes in the west, the Chochem will come in the west. So there, first of all, there's a Tnai, meaning if the Chochem comes in the east or if the Chochem comes in the west. But there your Chalos itself is also not clear. Your chalos is not saying, I want to accomplish one chalos, one act, or I want to accomplish one Erev. I'm holding what I'm accomplishing also up to doubt. I'm not sure if I want my Erev in the east. I'm not sure if I want my Erev in the west. So my goal is not clear. The Ramban says the issue of Brera is not a question of allowing my chalos to eventually be determined by something, or to be determined by something retroactively. But it's a question of Brera determining what my chalos is at a later time. I'm not sure what Erev I want now. To say that I can now determine what my Erev will eventually be retroactively. That's a suffek b'shnei dvarim. He's saying the machlokas of ein brera or yesh brera is a question of is can I determine what my chalos and what I want to accomplish will be? Can I say huvra hadover lemafreya and make that retroactive? So by way of example, the case of Yehu Shalomi Das and the Ravid's question may now be clear what the distinction is. I know what I want to accomplish by Yehu Shalomi Das. What I want to accomplish by Yehu Shalomi Das is clear. It's not a question of Brera. I want there to be Yehosh on this specific object. That's not Brera. I know what I want. I know what I want to achieve. Not like Tchum, I'm not sure where I want to Tchum. Not like by Truma, I'm not sure where I want the Truma from. I know what I want to achieve. And the question of Yehosh Shalom Das is a separate issue. It's a separate issue of taking a person's Das and allowing it to be Chal L'mafreya. Now, in this case, the Ramban's distinction is very, very clear. It's important to note that Rashi and Tosus do not make this distinction. There is a third possibility, which is based on Tshuvas HaRashba, Chelek Beis, Simen Pei Beis, whereby the Rashba gives a third possibility as to how to define when to apply Brera or not. Again, Rashi is quoted by Tosus and Arsugi says, you apply Brera when it's not Biyodo. The Ramban says, you apply Brera in a case where the actual thing you want to accomplish is up in the air and not clear, like either an Erev on one side or the other, or Truma on objects you're not sure about. But the Rashba has a third possibility to say when you apply Brera and when you don't. The question that the Rashba asked was, Hamoche lechavero echad mikarkiosof, stam. If someone says, right now, I'm making a sale to you of one of my fields, and I will determine at a later date which of these fields will be yours, the kaimalon that the Gemara in Menachos, kuf ches amet aleph, says that is a good sale, and sheyiten lo, he should give to him, ezer mehem sheyirtze, the Shoal wants to know why would that be different than another case of Brera, where the Gemara says that there were tsnuim. The Gemara in Meruba, above Akama Samach Tesam and Aleph, says that there were these people who were big tzaddikim. And they knew passers-by, would go ahead and grab some of their fruit. They were afraid that the people who would pass by would grab fruit that was tevel, that did not have hafrashas trumas and maestras. And they said, they made a tenai, and they put money aside, and they said, I am going to go ahead and take maaser on whatever fruits people will eventually go ahead and pick. They also went ahead and said, kol hamislakit, anyone who picks fruit, not knowing which fruit they will pick, yehe hefker. The Gemara says whether that works, whether the hefker is chal mefreya on that particular fruit, that we do not know from the outset which fruit it is. Could that hefker be chal lemafreya to go ahead and exempt the people picking it from trumas or maestras? It's totally on yesh brera ein brera. So the Shoal in the Rashba is asking, what's different between selling karka and determining it later, and making hefker on your peros and that being determined later? Now it appears that Rashi and Tosus would say, there's a clear difference. One is biyado. I'll eventually go ahead. Either I will decide or you will decide which piece of land, biyado. However, when a person says whatever someone else picks from my land will go ahead and be hefker retroactively, that's not biyado. It's interesting how the Ramban would deal with this issue, because in this issue, the problem of karka is you're not 100% sure on what piece of karka your chalos will be. So it's interesting to try to understand how the Ramban will deal with this issue. But the Rashba deals with this issue in a very interesting way, in a third possibility of defining when I say brera and when I don't say brera. At the end of his tshuva, he says, "Uklal gadol ani nosim lecha. De lo shayach din brera, ela b'ma she'i afshar legarish bo de lo nichtov lishma, inami bi imesi. Shim ein brera havile get la acher misa, umechal vishoise, shim ein brera iav shal lishtos la havile tevel. The whole question of brera ein brera is when I need the chalos to be chal retroactively. Brera is when I need the get not to be chal from my eventual kiyum hatnai or from the moment that I want the chalos to take place. Because, for instance, if a person says, Hareat mikudeshes li im meisi, if the chalos is at the time of misa, ein get lacher misa. So I need brera to go ahead and by definition to allow the get to be chal. I also, in our case, need the hafrashas truma eventually to also be chal l'mafreya. So when I need brera, when the whole case requires the chalos to go ahead and be chal retroactively, that's totally on brera. When it's an absolute requirement that the whole point of the chalos is to be chal retroactively, then I would say ein brera or yesh brera. However, the Rashba says that if there's a scenario that I don't need brera, that the whole halacha of ein brera or yesh brera is not necessary for what I want to accomplish. So meaning, I sell someone a field. It's not absolutely required, or it's not definitive that I sell today to him on Tuesday. I could also sell it to him on Thursday. If a person says, you know, let's do the deal now, it's convenient, and we'll pick the field in a few days, it really doesn't matter. The person doesn't absolutely need the sale to happen today. The sale can happen eventually in a few days. So the Rashba sheet is interesting. If a person doesn't need brera, it's not absolute in his decision-making process, and he's not dependent on something to be chal l'mafreya, then he enters the problem of brera by being dependent on it. Someone who's dependent absolutely on the retroactive chalos of it, of brera, then brera doesn't work. But if I have the potential to go ahead and to do the ma'aseh kinyan later, I'm stretching it out for no particular reason, then he says it's not totally on brera or yesh brera. And the svar in the Rashba might be, is how do you actually view this transaction? If a person goes ahead and sells a field today, and then he says, I will then pick which field it is in the future, since his intent is not necessarily to hold things in abeyance, but rather he has not made the absolute decision, and he doesn't care if the chalos hakinyan even occurs later, then it may be, according to the Rashba, I view it as one long continuum. However, in the case of yesh brera, ein brera, I can't view it as a continuum, because I absolutely need the chalos to take place now. So for instance, in our case, I'm saying I need the hafrasha right now. So I am actually going ahead and doing a hafrasha now, and I absolutely need the hafrasha now, because if the hafrasha is chal later, then I'm eating tevel. In a case where from the very outset I enter into a chalos, knowing that I absolutely need what eventually happens to be chal l'mafreya, the Rashba feels when you're dependent on the retroactive nature of what you're trying to accomplish, then it has a certain chisaron, that's totally on ein brera or yesh brera. When I'm not absolutely dependent on it, then the concept of yesh brera or ein brera does not come into play. This is the Rashba's klal in his tshuvas. So once again, just a little overview. When we deal with ein brera or yesh brera, we had our first question of exactly what is the machlokes. Is it that there's no chalos at all, according to the Man Yomer Ein Brera versus Yesh Brera? Or is it like Shitas Rashi in Chulun Yudalad? There is a chalos, we're just not sure how the chalos takes effect, and therefore the chisaron and our sugi of Lokeach Yayin Miben Akusim would be Truma and Chulun Meravim Biachad. The second issue in Brera was, what is the gather of when we say Brera or we don't say Brera? Shita number one was Rashi brought in Tosas and our sugya. that once something is biyado, it's already in the gedder of Tanai, and therefore there's no longer brera. The shita of the Ramban in Gittin Chaf Hei Amid Beis, that it is actually a major distinction between whether I know what I wish to accomplish. If it's clear what I wish to accomplish, what my chlos will be, then that is the parsha of Tnoyim. And Brera has nothing to do with the question of having a chalos being chal retroactively. That's not an issue. That's the parsha of Tnoyim. The question of Yesh Brera, Ein Brera, according to Ramban, is when I'm not sure what my chalos is, can I say Huvra Hadavra Lemafreya, that this is the chalos that I wished? Like the case of I'm not sure, do I want an heir of the Mizrach Lamarav? And the third is the Shitas Harashba, who says that when I am dependent on Brera absolutely for the chalos that eventually takes place to be chal retroactively, then I'm subject to Yesh Brera, Ein Brera. But when I am not really dependent on that, but rather I enter into a transaction, I could view that transaction as having a continuum, and I'm not really dependent on Yesh Brera, Ein Brera. And in such a case, I will not have a problem of the issue of Yesh Brera, Ein Brera. Our last topic will be the issue of Ha'usa Sukaso Ben Ha'ilonos V'Ha'ilonos Defunos Lo Keshera. This is the Mishan Chavdalad Amud Beis. And this has to do with a halachic issue that comes up in our day and age. How strong and how sturdy do the walls of the sukkah have to be? Specifically, can a sukkah be made out of walls consisting of sheets? So this sugya is based on this mission, as we mentioned, ha'usa sukkaso, someone who makes a sukkah, ben ha'ilonos. He's not using the ilonos themselves for either schach, but rather he's using them for the defanos. And he's not even, as Rashi says, ben ha'ilonos ba'aretz, lo samcha aleim avalhein defanoseha. We also don't get into the problem of using something that's not kosher for schach as being mamed the schach, but rather someone makes a sukkah and uses the ilonos, the trees, merely as the funos. So the Mishnah makes a blanket statement, kishera. The Gemara says, Amar Vacha Bar Yaakov, kol mechitza she'eni yechol olama baruch matzuya eina mechitza. The concept of having mechitza that's sturdy enough to withstand a normal wind seems to be applicable to these halachas of the trees, which is interesting, because it doesn't seem that the issue here is that the trees are going to fall down. When we had this sugya, a blot before, of kol mechitza she'enu ru yichol amad baruch matzuya ena mechitza, it was concerning ha'osis sukaso besfina, whereby you're afraid that the actual defanos are going to fall over. However, it appears that there's an extension of this concept, that a mechitza has to be able to withstand the ruach matzuya. As Rashi Divar Hamaschel says, she'en yechol amad baruch matzuya, sha'ruach molicha umeviya. The requirement that the walls are able to withstand a normal wind, a ruach matzuya, is not only a requirement that they don't fall down in a normal wind, but they don't even move in a normal wind. The obvious question is going to be, what is the shear of movement that is allowed? It's inconceivable that you're going to have walls that don't move at all with the wind. However, the Gemara seems to indicate that there has to be a certain amount of sturdiness. And the Gemara continues, Tnan ha'osis sukaso ben ilonos, someone who goes ahead and puts his sukkah between the trees, va'ilonos defanoslan, ilonos function as walls for the sukkah, kashera. That the Gemara asks, v'haka ozul va'osi. It's not a chiddush of Rashi that the walls themselves cannot move a certain amount, but it's actually the Gemara says it. Not only do the walls not have to be able to fall, but they have to also be able not to move a certain amount. Again, the question is how much. So the Gemara elaborates, Chachba Mayaskinan Bekashim. We're dealing with strong trees. So we know that even amongst strong trees, there is some movement. So therefore, clearly, the walls of Sukkah can move somewhat. The issue of the Gemara, however, says Va'ika, but there is Nofo. There are the branches of the trees. So the Gemara answers that when you use the branches for defanos, what you could do is you can tie them up, or you can supplement them with additional mechitzas, And if you do that, then it is kosher. The Gemara then discusses not only the concept of mechitzos by sukkah, but also discusses the concept of mechitzos by diyumud, mechitzos by erevin. And it also says similarly by erevin and diyumud, that the halacha is that whatever mechitzah you have to put up, if you use a tree for diyumud, in the case of erevin, the halacha is hosam nami mishum da'ovid lebuhutza v'dafna. Also, the branches may be problematic, and the branches have to either be strengthened or supplemented. Now, the question is, what is the shear? What is the actual requirement of how sturdy the walls have to be? How much are they allowed to move? The Rambam in Perash Mishnayos, commenting on this Mishnah, says that there are two requirements for the walls of the sukkah. The Rambam says, ha'osis sukkoso ben ha'ilonos. The Rambam Perash Mishnayos says, ha'ilonos inan ru'uyos shiud defanos ela b'shnei tnoim. There are two requirements for the defanos in terms of their strength. Ha'echad shiu osam ha'ilonos betachlis ha'ovi v'achizuk. One is that the ilanos have to be the strong portion, the trunk of the tree. Shelo taniyem haruach. Now these are the key words. V'yotu lo'oretz. It has to be that they are strong enough so the trees do not bend all the way down to the ground. Karsher yikra. Like what would occur. La'anofim hadakim. Like what would occur to those branches that are very, very light. So the Rambam seems to give us a very, very makel shear. The Rambam says that as long as the defanos don't actually bend over all the way to the ground, the defanos are ksheros. And he says the second requirement is vasheni shiyamale rosha ilon uben hanofim, that if you have those branches as part of your dofin, as part of your wall, that actually bend down all the way to the ground, then, as the Gemara says, you must supplement them. Shemale roshi ilan ben anofim b'teven v'keyotzibo k'deshi iskayim v'lo yanenu haruach. So the Rambam gives us a very makel sheet in Perash Mishnayos, and the Rambam says in Perash Mishnayos that the walls just have to remain sturdy enough so the wind doesn't bend them all the way down to the ground, which seems to give us a lot of leeway and a lot of room in terms of the ability for the defanos to give way. However, the Rambam in Perek Dalet Halacha Hey in Hilchos Sukkah says, "Ha'osis sukkaso ben ha'ilonos ve'ilonos defanos lo, im hayu chazokim, if the trees themselves are sturdy, o she'kosher osam v'chizok osam, ad shelo tia haruach ha'metsuya me'nida osam tomid." The Rambam again doesn't give us an absolute shear, but rather the Rambam says as long as they are not consistently moving, which seems to be a different shear in the Yad Chazaka as opposed to the Rambam Perash Mishnayos. There it's a question of not frequency, but it's a question of extent. In Perash Mishnayos, it seems to be that the trees must be strong enough to the extent that they don't bend over all the way to the ground. Here the Rambam still seems to be more concerned with the issue of, is it that they are so sensitive, the trees or the mechitzas, that they consistently move? Again, we don't know exactly how much movement is permissible or prohibited. And then the Rambam says, "Umale ben haimarim b'tevin u'bakash, kedesh lo tonud osam haruach, v'kasher osam harezuk shera." Those portions that move too much, either you tie them or you fill them in. Again, this is based on that klal kol mechitza she'en yichol amad baruch metzuya. Therefore, the klal that the defanos of the sukkah must withstand a normal wind is not just a requirement in terms of them being knocked down by the wind, but they also really cannot move. The question again is, how much movement is allowed? The Shulchan Aruch in Simen Tov Resh Lamed, Sif Yud, says, Ha'osis sukkaso ben ha'ilonos v'ilonos defanos lo, imiyu chazokim, like the Rosh HaRambam, O she'kosher osam v'chizik osam, ad she'lo teharuch metzuya me'nida osa tomid. Again, all the lashon of the Rambam. Again, he doesn't seem, the Shulchan Aruch, to give us a shear, an exact measurement of how much they could move. Again, here he uses the lashon as long as it's not moving consistently. Now, the case that the Shulchan Aruch brings of a mechitza that clearly would be problematic in the wind, the Shulchan Aruch says, Al kein, therefore, ein nochen lasos kol ha-mechitzas miyirio shel pishton below kanim. He says, as an example of something that moves too much, is you should not use any type of sheets, even if they're made of linen, without going ahead and strengthening with kanim. Afal pi shekashrim batov, even though a person has gone ahead and tied them, the Shulchan Aruch continues, tying the sheets down is not enough, because zimnin, we are worried that perhaps sometimes the mintiki v'lavadaite, they might be loosened and you won't be aware of it. Therefore, he says, you have to back them up, that even though the defunas themselves are made of urios, are made of curtains, what you can do is at least create a mechitza asara tfachim around the perimeter of the sukkah. And as long as they are made of strips of kanim, as long as they have strips, and those strips do not have between them a vertical distance of more than 3 tfachim, then at least you have a mechitza based on loved for asara tfachim, and that will serve as your basic defanos. So we see at least that something that is not acceptable without giving us a specific amount of movement are curtains. The Mishnah Berurah in Sif Katan Mem Ches says, Ad shelot ha'ruach metzuya meini dosam. Vetzono lomar, the Mishnah Berurah says, the im meini dosam, it seems to indicate that if they move, afilu ein b'koach ha'ruach lahapad osam lagamre. Again, the Mishnah Berurah is telling us a chiddush in our Gemara here in Chavdal Amid Beis. The chiddush is, even if the ruach is not going to knock down the mechitzas, if it moves them too much, then that movement would passel them. Rak shal yidei haruach holech ha-mechitza uba. Kaim alon, that the halacha is, once a mechitza moves too much from the wind, the shuv lo chashiv mechitza, it loses the shem mechitza. Va'afilu omedes bebayis she'en sham ruach klal lo chashiv mechitza. Now, the question is this requirement a requirement practically? Is it a siba or is it a simen? Meaning, if someone can protect the curtains and put walls around the curtains, or if the curtains are within your house, would you say that since practically those mechitzas will never move, they have a shem mechitza, that would mean it's a siba. That would mean that practically when they move, they lose the shem mechitza. Or is it a simen? Or is it rather an indication or a requirement that under normal conditions, if those mechitzos move, even if they are protected, they don't have a shem mechitza. The Mishnah Berurah tells us that even though practically you can protect those curtains or that flimsy mechitza from ever moving the shear, then it is still not considered to be a mechitza, because in order to gain a shem mechitza, the halacha is that it is required to be omed beruach metzuya and not to move excessively. Again, the question is, what is the shear of excess in terms of movement? The Chazon Ish in Siman Ayin Zayin Sif Katan Vav discusses this at length. The sheet of most poskim is that this concept of movement is based on the general concept of lovud. That if you have walls of your sukkah, and the walls of your sukkah in a regular wind move more than 3 tfachim in any direction, then you would say that that is considered to be a mechitza she'en ru'uya. La halacha, this appear may be a problem with some of the sukkahs that we have that are made out of canvas that may move more than 3 tfachim. Many poskim say that you have to be very, very careful that your walls do not move, especially if they're made out of canvas or linen, do not move more than 3 tfachim in each direction, which is the prevalent shita. As the Mishnah Berurah says, even though practically you can protect them, it's not a question of practically whether they move or not, but it is a question in Shem Mechitza. And as we see from the Gemara, this is not only a halacha in Sukkah, but since the Gemara on Chavdal and Beis applies it also to Din of Diyumot, and since the Shulchan Aruch brings this same halacha in Hilchos Erevin, Simen Shin Samach Beis, we see this halacha b'chol HaTorah Kula b'Shem Mechitza. Once again, the Rambam Perush Mishnayos seems to give us more leeway. However, it seems that at the end of the day, the Psak halacha is Gimel Tfachim, even though it appears from the Rambam, both in Perush Mishnayos, the Rambam in Hilchos Sukkah and the Shulchan Aruch, that the requirement may be a requirement of that it doesn't move too frequently, a requirement that the branches or the mechitzas actually don't bend over for the ground. But lehilchasa, most poskim say it's a question of moving gimel tefachim in one direction or another.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.